Lord said, what I take pleasure in is that you glory in me and that you know me. And that I'm the God who executes loving kindness, righteousness. You know, and when we think about it, when it all boils down to the bottom line, man cannot glory in himself. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. There's no boasting. People like to boast. That's why the scripture calls it vain glory. It's glory, but it's vain. It's the glory of man. And the glory of man is vain. Wasn't it Carly Simon wrote a song years ago? Because you're so vain. You think this all about you? Well, it is about us as far as he so loved us and he gave us his son. But after he shows up and after he's been raised from the dead and he's seated, when John saw him on the island of Patmos in the spirit, he was in the spirit on the Lord's day, he fell at his feet. And his eyes was like fire. The glory he had was restored to him from the very beginning. And I'm telling you, when we behold him, when we see him face to face, I can promise you all of our stuff's out the window. I mean, it's out the window. So we just go ahead and let it go out the window now. And we give him glory because of who he is. Amen. Before we're seated, let's just lift our hands. Those of you online, we welcome you. Hallelujah to our Sunday morning worship service here in Jasper. You're in the right place at the right time. Why don't you just go ahead and lift your hands where you are? Because he's there. Hallelujah. Lord, we lift our hands to you this morning. We thank you. You are so glorious. You're so wonderful and gracious. Father, you are love. You are divine love. And we thank you for loving us. You've bestowed your love to such degree that those of us who have opened our hearts to you have now been called the sons of God. Oh, hallelujah. Joint heirs with Jesus himself. Seated in heavenly places at this moment in Christ Jesus. Oh, we give you glory this morning. We thank you. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit. And we thank you for your word. And we open up our hearts this morning to receive that which you would supply and bring to us. But we just want you to know how much we appreciate you and love you. And we thank you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. You can be seated. Amen. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. It's good to see everybody this morning. Like I said, once we welcome you, those of you, our church family and friends that are watching online. Praise God. It's a good day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we rejoice and we are glad in it. This is the day of salvation. This is the day where his free favors profusely abound toward us in our life. I'm telling you, his grace abounds toward us, as Brother Lee was mentioning earlier and exhorting us earlier. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. At this time, we will honor the Lord in our giving and worship him. If you need an envelope, if you didn't get one when you come in, just raise your hand and Brother Jim and Brother Lee will get one to you. And let's go in our Bibles to Romans chapter 4. The Holy Ghost, when we were worshiping there, quickened a scripture to me. And really it was some things that Brother Lee was exhorting. Hallelujah. But I think it'd be good to put in here. You know, we were singing Waymaker. And, you know, part of that song is, listen, even if we don't see it, he's working. You know, he's called the invisible God, the only true wise God, the invisible king. I'm talking about to the natural eye. Now, there will come a time when he won't be invisible to our natural eye. You remember the Lord told Thomas, in the upper room after his resurrection. He said, Thomas, you believe because you can touch me and see me. You remember what he said, don't you? He said, blessed. Blessed are those. Blessed is the man who believes in me and yet has not seen me. He's talking about the physical side of this thing. Why? Because this is of faith. Yes. See, without faith, it's impossible to please him. You must first believe that he is. Whether you feel, whether you see with your natural eye, you must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder and that he loves you. For you and me, for us not to believe in the Father that he is, the love that he is, and the desire that he has for our heart. You know, I made reference to the scripture, for God so loved the world. They have to put the word so in there. He so loved the world that he gave us his son. He sent his word to us. And to not believe and to not put trust in his love is really, if you boil it down, it's just not knowing him. But life eternal life is to know God and Jesus Christ whom he sent, John 17:3. Oh, praise the Lord. He loves us so. And he knows that at this moment he's invisible to our natural eye. Even though we can see his handiwork, we can see things that he's created. We can even see things that he does in our lives. But it's still a walk of faith, my brother and sister. I was reminded, Lee, when you were sharing some things there, I heard this recently. I heard Brother Hagin say this, Dad Hagin say this. He was referring to a call that he got in the middle of the night from a lady, and he thought something terrible had happened. But basically, she just didn't feel like she was saved, and she'd been part of the church for years. But she was just, for whatever reason, her senses and her feelings were overwhelming her. And one of the things he said was, he said many a time. Now, see, we wouldn't think of that of him back at that time when we were in his meetings and things of that nature. He said, but many times he goes to the pulpit, goes to a service. And if he went by feelings, he said, I would need somebody to pray for me. He said, I feel like I wouldn't even be saved. Just about, if you went by the feeling. Now, see, you wouldn't think that of him. We'd think that of ourselves, Lee. You know, we think that of ourselves, but somebody, no, surely not him. Because, listen, he's no different than we are. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, we all deal with the same stuff. And we all have to walk by sight and not by, I mean, walk by faith and not by sight. We must believe that he is. And we must believe that, yes, even though we don't see or even though we don't feel, yes, he is working. He loves us. He has things prepared and made ready for us. He knows the end from the beginning. All your days, the scripture says, are numbered by him. And he has purpose in every day of your life, in your future. And the Bible tells us the thoughts that he thinks and the plans that he has for us are good. He is a good, good Father. And because of who he is, we give him glory. And we honor him. Oh, glory to God. Let me read this scripture to you. Everybody got what you need? Look at this. In Romans chapter 4, verse 16, it says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Paul was not going to get into the teaching side of this, but the bottom line is the bottom line here. He says, it is of faith that it might be of grace. He goes on in the book of Galatians. He says, the law is not of faith. The law, meaning works, has zero to do with faith. Zero. It's not of faith. It don't have anything to do with it. Paul says, it's of faith that it might be by grace, so that the promise can be sure to us. Because if it depended on something else, we would fall short. What do you mean it is of faith? We believe in what he did. We bring every thought captive to his obedience. It's what he accomplished for us. We believe in him so that through faith in him alone, we can be sure. We can expect good because we believe on what he did for us, not what we do. That doesn't mean we don't walk by the Spirit. That doesn't mean we don't love people and serve God and serve others. But what it's based on is what it's based on. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's like the Lord quickened that scripture to me. Don't let the wise man glory in his wisdom. Don't let a mighty man even glory in his might or his strength or his own ability. Don't even let a rich man, a wealthy man, glory or trust in his riches. But what God delights in is that you trust and know him. Oh, this is the life we live. It's the good life. I was in the other life. I walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. But the head of the church came in the northwest bedroom out on Holly Grove Road in a little rental house in 1984, July of 1984. I just celebrated 36 years of deliverance. 36 years of deliverance. I'm talking about snatched. You know, Jude talks about that. Some you just pull out of the fire. Some you just snatch and have compassion on. And hallelujah, he had compassion on me. Came to the North 40 in the middle of the night and rescued me. Set me on a rock now. Hallelujah. It's wonderful to talk about him. You know, because when all the dust settles and we get past all the stuff that's going on around us and all the info and all the noise, and you really get heart to heart, you realize and recognize what this thing's all about. Oh, how he loves you and me. Amen. Everybody good? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much. We thank you for your great love, and we honor you, and we thank you with these gifts. We thank you for your grace upon us, and we thank you for the supply of your Spirit that causes us to have all sufficiency, gives us bread to eat and seed to sow, and you increase us and you multiply that which we give and sow. Oh, we thank you. It's of your ability. It's of your grace, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Y'all can receive the offering. Hallelujah. Well, let's go in our Bibles this morning while they're receiving that. Let's hit the ground running. We may finish this morning on our series we've been in for several weeks now called The Spirit Within and The Spirit Upon. But I want you to go to John, the 16th chapter, the Gospel of John. Glory to God. There's many things that we have spoken, many things that we have said. We can't go back. That's why these services are archived. That's why you can go back and listen to them again. And therefore, your benefit and for your admonition and exhortation and edifying. So I encourage you to do so as the Spirit leads you. But we're going to pick up this morning and go forward. But John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples. And he said this in the 13th verse. He says, "Howbeit, when he..." Now, sometimes you'll see a reference like we'll read here just shortly in Romans 8 where it says the Spirit itself. But really, that's a wrong translation. It should be himself. Because the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is not an it. He's a person. He's the third person of the Godhead. He's one and equal with the Father and with the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, "Howbeit when he..." The Spirit of truth is come. And notice he refers to him as the Spirit of truth, not the Spirit of error. Not the Spirit that is a lie, a lying spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Verse 15, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Now there's a lot here. I mean, there is a lot to be said right here. But we want to recognize this. We've been talking about the Holy Ghost and his ministry within us. And not only within us, but even being upon us. The bottom line is, he came to live on the inside of us. Jesus said in the 14th chapter, he said, I'm going to pray, and the Father's going to send you another comforter. Another refers to that there was one before. He was referring to himself. Matter of fact, he says, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm coming to you. Well, he's come to us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ. He's the anointed one and his anointing. When you have references to the anointing, it's the same thing as the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. It's not something different. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. See, the anointing and the Holy Ghost are inseparable. See, when John wrote and said, you have an anointing on the inside of you. You don't need people to try to guide you. It says teach there in the King James, but he's talking about guiding, recognizing the spirit of Antichrist or the true spirit. See, Jesus said he's going to guide you in all truth. Well, let me just throw this out here. The word of God is truth, John 17, 17. So we've been focusing on and talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You know, Paul talked about to the church at Corinth back when we did our study in Corinthians. He said, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. The word gifts there is just italicized. You remember in the Greek, it literally means he doesn't want the church ignorant or unlearned about things pertaining to the Holy Spirit. He's multifaceted. I mean, he's here. Jesus said, I'll pray and you'll receive another comforter. And not only, he'll abide with you forever. And he said, not only will he be with you, because he's omnipresent, he's here. He said, he shall be in you. Okay, so we talked about that, about the spirit within and how it benefits our lives. And not only benefits our lives, but it benefits others. So let's sort of, like I said, let's see if we may close this out. Listen, you can exhaust this anyway. I mean, we could talk about this a long time. But, you know, the Lord has other things for us too as well that we need to get into. But the bottom line is the bottom line. He's on the inside of us to guide us. Because Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you. And not only will he guide you, he will show you. Where? Where does he live? He lives inside your spirit. We talked about the spirit of man is the candle or the lamp of the Lord. Your spirit is what God is going to use to show you things and to guide you. That's where the light's going to come in you, is in your spirit. That's the part that God will use. Not your mind, your spirit. Not your body, your spirit. But Jesus said this. He said, he's going to take that which is of me and he's going to show it to you. In other words, the Holy Ghost, he's always going to show you things about him. Not only who he is, but what he's done for you. See, for example, Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Well, we could focus on being led by the Spirit, but we also realized that he's going to witness to you your sonship. He's going to bear witness with you that you're a child of God, a joint heir with him. If you take the word in context, he's always going to be revealing that to you. Why? Because that's what Jesus did for you and me. That's his heart. That's who he is. He didn't come here for himself. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. He came for you and me. Now, the Holy Spirit who's here, not only with us, but He's in us. And He's wanting to guide you and show you things of Him and what He accomplished and what was purposed of the Father and of the Lord Jesus. You remember Ephesians, Paul said, this is after the counsel of His own will. This is what He purposed in Himself before the foundation of the world. God had something in His heart. What was in His heart? You. Now, the Holy Ghost wants to guide you and to lead you. Well, how does He do that? Well, He's going to guide you in truth. The number one way He's going to guide you, let's say it like this, He's going to guide you in the Word or by the Word of God. Now listen, He'll speak things to your spirit about your life. He'll witness things to you. But listen, we need to get first things first. And we've got Bible example for it. And that's where I want to go this morning and sort of close this out. Because we've talked about a lot of different things. And listen, there's things we haven't talked about. I'll go ahead and tell you that. I mean, listen, there's things we haven't even covered. That's okay. We'll get it at a later date. Praise the Lord. He will guide you in all truth. Go with me to Psalm 119. You ready? Let's look at some scripture. Psalm 119. I'll try to get through this pretty quick. Not get bogged down. But I think it's good for us to look at this. This is the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119. It's a wonderful, wonderful chapter. But notice here in Psalm 119, verse 130. He said, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The Word of God brings light to your heart, to your understanding. Brings illumination and light to your inner man. What does? The Word does. If you're going to see what you need to see in your life, even when it comes to being led and decisions that need to be made, even when you deal with certain situations and circumstances, the light that you're going to have on the inside of you is going to be a product or byproduct of the Word that you have in you. Because the entrance of His words, when you open up your heart and your soul and your mind to the Bible, to the Word of God, to Scripture, that's why we're going to keep saying it. If you find yourself in a circumstance or a situation, then go to the Bible and see what the Bible says about that particular situation. I remember just right off the bat, this comes to me. I was sitting in a Waffle House years ago with a brother, and we were talking about things. And he wanted to discuss some situations at work. And basically, he wanted to, what we call the blame game. You know, it started back in the garden, right? You know, the devil is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, he won't be forever. He's going to be put away. So let's say, let me cut one of them off. He's the same yesterday and today. But the bottom line was the bottom line. He wanted to talk about his master and his employer. And I said, well, what does that have to do with you? And when I said that to him, it shocked him. I said, are you the master? Are you the employer? Or are you the employee? He said, no, I'm the employee. I said, well, let's go to the Word and see what the Bible says about employees. Not employers, because you're not the employer. That's no different where the wife wants to talk about the husband and the husband wants to talk about the wife. Well, let's don't go to about the scriptures about the husband if you're a wife, and let's don't go to the scriptures about the wife if you're the husband. It's amazing when you get into situations like this. People, we're fixing to go to another scripture right below this. A lot of times people don't want this. Do you believe that Jesus loves us? This I know, for the Bible The Bible tells us so. Do you believe he sent his word to us? Do you believe that he's given us exceeding great and precious promises in scriptures so that we can partake of the divine nature and really have a good life? And it's not that we don't deal with situations. And it's not that people don't miss it or that people do wrong things besides yourself. But listen, you can't control other people. God has not given us authority over human spirits. He has given us authority over demonic spirits. And if it's a demonic spirit that's trying to wreck everything in your life through even somebody else, it's not flesh and blood you're wrestling with, Ephesians chapter 6. So get your mind and your eyes off of them. Take authority over that spirit that's trying to come and divide and just stand and laugh at the devil from that point on. No matter what you see, even though I don't see it, he's working. I mean, we sing songs. I wonder if we really sing them and really believe what we're singing. I think we just sing because that's what we're singing. So going back to this guy, I just pulled up on my phone and we went to 1 Peter. And it talks about, listen, if you did wrong at work and you got rebuked for it and the boss was ugly to you, well, you can sort of accept that because you did wrong. But the Word of God says even when you did everything right and lovely and then he gets ugly to you, this is wonderful and thankworthy and the glory and the Spirit of God rest upon you. He didn't want to hear that. He didn't want to hear that. And you know, I found out a lot of people don't want to hear the Word. But it was his answer. What does the Bible say about your situation? What are you? Well, I'm an employee. Well, let's don't look at the scripture. Let's pray. And then we can pray for, okay. Well, he's my enemy. Well, let's pray. Let's go what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 about your enemy. He didn't want to hear that either. You know, I found out most people want you to side in with them and agree, you know, want you to agree with them. And they just want to walk in the flesh. Oh, that's not our service today. We better keep moving. I can already tell I've done going to meddling. Look at the 133rd verse here. What did the psalmist say? He said, order my steps in thy word. Order my steps in thy word. Let me give you a good prayer. Here's a good prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you with all of my heart, help me and order my steps at the steps I take and where I'm walking each day. I'm walking in your word. I'm walking by what the Bible says, what the Word of God says. Let me say something to you. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God are one. They're one. They're inseparable. So if you're being led by the Spirit, and the Spirit of God is having his work on the inside of you, and you're allowing him to lead you and to guide you, he's going to guide you into all truth. Jesus said in John 17:17, he said, thy word is truth. So he's going to guide you in the word. He's going to order your steps in the scriptures. See, a lot of people, they want to hear God and they want to be led by the Spirit. Because, listen, it's vital. I'm convinced, and we heard this years ago, you know, we go back, listen, if a person will hear God on the inside, what God speaks to them, and they will follow that and do that, I promise you, it will turn out good for you. You'll have heaven's best. Even here in this world, we got all kinds of stuff around us. You can still have days of heaven on the earth. You know, God desired, even in the old covenant, that there be days of heaven on the earth. Now, we have a new and better covenant. Why? Because even back then, the Holy Ghost didn't live inside of man. Oh, glory to God. Go back, you're right there. Go back to the 17th chapter. Look at the fifth verse of Psalm 17:5. He said, "Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not." Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Well, how's God going to hold you up? How's he going to hold you up? If you're being held up, that means you don't sink. Because you're being held up. You're on solid foundation. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7? He said, "Let me talk to you about two kinds of men. I want to talk to you about a wise man. I want to talk to you about a foolish man. Let me tell you about a wise man. A wise man is one who will hear my sayings or my words and will implement them in their life. They'll be a doer of what I said. They won't just hear it, but it'll be a part of their life." And he said, that person's house will be built upon a rock. In other words, he's going to be upheld. When things come against his life, his house is going to stand. The house refers to the person. Lord, hold up my goings and my path and where I'm walking day by day. What's going on in my life? What's going to happen in 3 months, 3 years, 3 days? Hold me up in my goings. Order my steps in your word. Why? Because that's being led by the Spirit day by day. Number one is by hearkening and following what the word says. And if you don't know, go find your scripture. Jesus said, "Seek and you shall find. Ask. Go to him. It will be given you. Knock. It will be opened to you." But he's going to show you things in the word. The Spirit of God will never lead you in an area in your life that is contrary to Scripture. I've seen this, and a lot of times when you see people miss it, I've had people, "Well, I was praying and God told me." Or, "I just feel like the Lord was saying this to me. I just feel led in this area." And sometimes people will tell you these things, and when they tell you, it's contrary to Scripture. Specifically, listen to me, specifically in the area of divine love. In other words, it's not really for the interest of others. It's about one's interest. And they'll tell you God told them. "And the Spirit's leading me to do this." Well, the Spirit and the Word are one. And they agree. They don't disagree. They agree. So, the number one way is to be like the psalmist here. Like Jesus said when he showed up on the scene. "Lord, order my steps in your word." The entrance of his words gives light. It gives us understanding on how we should walk and how we're to handle and how we're to respond. If you're walking in the divine love of God and being led by the Spirit of God, and you remember we said this, the number one way that you'll grow and develop in being led by the Spirit is walking in love and being led by the love of God. Why? Because you and I deal with people all the time. I don't care if you're going to Walmart. I don't care if you're going to the grocery. It doesn't matter where you go. It's at the job, like the brother who was wanting to talk to me about his work. I wasn't trying to be ugly to him. But I knew if he stays on that road that he's on with his superior, it's not going to turn out good. It can't turn out good. You remember Paul writing to the church at Corinth? He said, "Listen, I beseech you that there be no divisions among you, that you be of the same mind and the same judgment, and that you speak and say the same thing." Well, first of all, we've got to apply that to us and the Lord. We can't be divided with the Lord. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? Amos 3:3. We talked about this past Wednesday night in our Establishing Our Heart series. You can't be divided against the Lord. Well, how would I be divided against the Lord? You're saying something else besides what His Word says. You're minding other things. But we have a helper. We have one who loves us. You remember they're one, the Father, Jesus, and the Spirit. They love us. He's the Spirit of love. Remember, He's the Spirit of power, 2 Timothy 1:7. He's the Spirit of power. He's the Spirit of love. He's the Spirit of a sound mind. He's on the inside of you. And He will guide you in the Word. He will guide Jesus. Listen, Jesus and the Word are one. Jesus is the living Word. The written Word reveals unto us the living Word. So He's always going to connect us to Jesus and how Jesus would walk. You know, Jesus walked by the Spirit, and the Bible says Jesus didn't judge but what He saw with His eyes. Isaiah chapter 11, the Spirit of the Lord was upon Him. And he didn't go by what He saw with His eyes. He didn't reprove and respond to things with what He heard people say out of their mouth. He only did what He heard His Father say. And He only said that, and He only did things that He saw His Father do, and only spoke the things He heard His Father say. Somebody says, yes, but that's Jesus. Don't disqualify yourself. Don't get over in doubt and unbelief. Not when you got scriptures that tell you that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth, and that He lives on the inside of you. Don't start disqualifying yourself and spewing out a bunch of doubt and unbelief that's saying that the Holy Spirit can't lead you and guide you into all truth. If that's not the case, then Jesus was lying. I believe I'll take His word. I'll go ahead and side in with Him instead of the doubt and unbelief that's coming out of somebody's mouth and heart. An unrenewed mind. Now, that's not a put down, but it's the truth. And I'm telling you, all of this that we're doing here is because of where we are in time. It is so important now that we be spiritually minded and we be sensitive to our spirit man and to our heart. We have to guard our heart more than we've ever guarded it, because out of it are the issues and the forces of life. And like we've been talking about on our Wednesday night services, when you go to James chapter 5 and talks about how the husbandman, the father, has long patience because he knows it's the end, and he's trying to get people in. The next verse tells us we're to also be patient, but we are to establish our hearts because the coming of the Lord is nigh. It's an end time scripture. Not only we're to guard our heart, we're to establish our heart, and we're to, out of our heart, we're to be led. We got to listen to our heart and to our spirit. My wife has given me signs back here. I refer to it as in James 5, but we're not turning to it. Well, go ahead and turn to it. Praise the Lord. We're going to turn to another scripture. Hey, y'all just have to know me and my sweetie back here. We're going somewhere else. She's going to another place. I'm just messing with her. All right. Jesus said in John 6:63, He said, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit, and they are life." Let me ask you this. Do we have an example of the Master? If you go to Matthew, the 4th chapter, you remember the psalmist said, "Lord, order my steps in your word." When I encounter something, order me in the word. Well, isn't that what happened to Jesus? In Matthew chapter 4, the Bible says He was being led by the Spirit. He went to the wilderness being led by the Spirit of God. So let me say it to you like this. He's following the Spirit. His daily life. He's walking. All of a sudden, the Bible says the tempter came to Him. Well, has the tempter ever came to you? God may be leading you, showing you things. You're going along, minding your own business, loving the Lord, just fellowshipping with God. And all of a sudden, the tempter comes to you. Out of nowhere, out of left field, as we say. How did Jesus respond to him? He's being led by the Spirit. What happened? Three times he said, "It is written." Let me ask you a question. Was he being led? Was the anointing and the Spirit of God in him? Was the life of God in him leading him at that moment when the tempter came to his life? Well, let me ask you a question then. How was he being led? You remember the Spirit, Jesus later on says, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He's going to guide you in the Word because the Word is truth. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the living Word. So when we get in situations, even when we find an attack, a scheme, a plot, even our adversary, the accuser that you were referring to earlier, what's the deal? How are we going to be led? First and foremost, we're going to be led in the Word. That's not saying that the Holy Spirit can't lead you in other areas. But once again, any time we're being led without a, I'll just use it for this purpose, without quoting a scripture or speaking a scripture like Jesus said, it is written, and he actually quoted the scripture. But if the Spirit of God's leading you in any other area of your life, apart from him quickening a Bible verse to you, it's still going to come in line with that with the scripture. Won't violate it. Got it? So important. Because, like I said, a lot of people out there, let me say something to you. That spirit that's out there, it does not want to hear what the Bible says. And sad to say, a lot of Christians don't want to hear that either. I've run into a few. And the sad thing is, if you try to give them scripture, and a lot of times, I know, and you hear this, I'll know, and then they'll say this word, but. And when they say but, and they start telling you other things, all you can do at that moment is to pray for them that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened and that their heart would see it and that the veil would be removed from their own face because the God of this world has blinded their mind even in this particular area that they're dealing with. And sometimes we, listen, I've been there. This is, look, once again, this is not a put down to people, but we must recognize where we are and what's vital. Lord, order my steps. That's a good prayer. Father, order my steps in Jesus' name. Order my steps according to your word. Let my house, let my life be built upon this, what you said, Jesus. You are the word. Let me say something to you. The book of Ephesians could be red letter edition because Paul got it straight from the head of the church himself. It didn't come from himself. The things that talk about children and masters and servants and husbands and wives and employers and all these things, it's red letters. I'm just using that for an example. That's just one area. And there's other things out here in this life. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Let me tell you something else he'll do. When it says he will guide you in all truth, he will prompt you to speak and to pray the word. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Oh my. You know, I said we could do this for a long time on this subject. And I find myself and I look up at the clock and I go, oh wow. I mean, you may not be thinking that. Y'all may be going, oh my God. It's like the little boy we had in here one time. He was in a Christmas service. And I took it upon myself to add some extras. But he was looking to get out of here, and they're going to have a little Christmas party. And yet, they came in the service for a little bit, and he was thinking, you know, that, you know, this thing's going to be short. We're going to get out of here. Pastor Roger, we're going to come in and sing our little deal, and we're going to go have our deal back here, and it's all going to be fun and games. And yet, I took it upon myself, without him knowing, that I would just make some comments about some things that the kids were doing. And we just sort of included him in the service. And all of a sudden, he got to the end, and he had that little country voice. And he said, oh, my God, is this ever going to end? So, you can hear him back there. He just spoke out, oh, my God, is this ever going to end? And I think sometimes people are going, oh, my God, is this ever going to end? But to me, It's like I just started just a few minutes ago. But that's how it is sometimes when you get over and you're not mindful of a lot of other things and you're listening on the inside. Time, you're not conscious of time. But I've got people that'll help me back here in the way of heaven going, no, I'm just messing. Praise the Lord. He will help you in prayer. You ready? Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Notice these next three words. In the Spirit. In the Spirit or in the Holy Ghost. The Spirit and the Holy Ghost are the same, okay? Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Do you know the Holy Spirit will help us in prayer? Help us speak and pray about things? Why? Because we've already looked at in 1 Corinthians 2 that He, the Holy Spirit, knows all things. And He searches all things. He searches the hearts. He knows all things. He knows even the deep things of God. He knows things that are not just on the surface. You know, the Bible tells us, I think it's in Proverbs the 20th chapter also, where in that same chapter where it talks about the spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord or the lamp of the Lord searching all the inward parts of the belly. I think you go up to about the 5th verse and it says, counsel in the heart of man is as deep waters, but a man of understanding will draw it out. There's things sometimes that's it's just not on the surface, folks. You have to wait and pray and look to the Lord. And sometimes it's not that God does not hear our prayer when we pray or speak to us immediately. But sometimes we have to draw things out ourselves. We have to position ourselves to where we can hear and listen and get clarity on the inside. Praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost helps us. How does He help us? He helps us by us praying in the Spirit. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's look at this right quick. This is going to help. Excuse me. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go to Romans 8. I'm going to finish up with these scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right now, there's someone. I don't know if you're in here or online. You've got thyroid issues. The Spirit of God is ministering to you right now, quickening your thyroid. You're being healed in Jesus' name. There are a couple other things. Somebody has a diverticulitis. Other word that keeps coming to me is irritable bowel syndrome. Digestive issues are being quickened now in the name of Jesus. Someone has got an issue with an aorta, the valve in your heart. The Lord's ministering to you right now. You can sense that warmth coming in your chest. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody's done something to their pinky finger. Something happened to your pinky finger. I don't know what you did. I don't know if you injured it, or I think it was injury. You're being healed by the Spirit of God. Somebody's Achilles tendon is being healed in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Somebody's scalp, your scalp, something's with your scalp and your hair, that's being healed in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. The Lord brought this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Fever. Somebody you're dealing with a fever. fever in your body, that fever breaks now in the name of Jesus. The source of that thing is stopped and it desists now. And your fever breaks now and you recover speedily. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Good. All right. Here we go. Romans 8. Praise the Lord. Romans 8. Here we go. Romans 8. Praise the Lord. Romans 8, verse 26 says, likewise the Spirit, capital S, talking about the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities. Our infirmities refers to any weakness that we would have. Okay? You're not weak in your spirit, man. The Bible tells you, let the weak say that you're strong. The Bible tells you to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Okay? That's why it's so important that we're to listen to and flow and operate from our spirit. But it says, the Spirit helpeth, takes hold together with, against any infirmity, weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself, it says itself, King James, but it's really Himself. The Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Now, here's what I want to end with this. The Holy Ghost is on the inside of us to help us. And the Holy Ghost will give us utterance. He'll help us pray and speak things. He'll also help us, He'll give us utterance in the Spirit. It's called praying in tongues, or praying in the Spirit, or praying in the Holy Ghost, as the Bible talks about. We see here that there's times we know we need to pray about things, we just don't know how we need to pray about it as we ought to pray about it. It didn't say we don't know that we need to pray about something. It just says there are times in our lives we get into situations, whether it's in our own life or with others, that we don't know exactly what to pray for as we ought. But the Holy Ghost will give us utterance with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Greek literally means He will give you utterance or words to pray that's not in your articulate speech or your regular kind of language. Why? Because He searches all things. He knows all things. And He helps us to intercede and pray for people. Remember Paul said they're praying with all prayer and supplication for all, in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is different than praying from your understanding. But you can be led by the Holy Spirit even in praying in your understanding. Okay? So we're not belittling praying with our understanding, but God has given us a supernatural means. See, this is part of the Spirit within. Remember, we talked about this in the book of Acts. We went back through the book of Acts. That's why we covered these situations in the book of Acts. That's why after Philip had went and preached at Samaria and had revival, and he preached Christ to them, and they believed and were baptized. They were baptized in water. They were saved and born again, and after that they sent Peter and John to them, who went down and laid hands on them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for He had yet not fallen on them. Paul came to the upper coast of Ephesus. In Acts chapter 19, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? He's talking about since you believed on Jesus. Well, they had not believed on Jesus. All they had heard at the time was John the Baptist. And yet Paul ministered to them and they were saved and baptized. And after that, he laid his hands on them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in other tongues. There's a supernatural means, a help that He helpeth us. And He gives utterance and He gives us words that are supernatural. It's beyond your mind and your thinking. I'm not going to get into teaching on tongues here. That's not the purpose of this. But it is a help. It's a part of the ministry within us. We'll teach about that at a later date and expound on it even more. But I'm just saying He lives in us and He gives us utterance. He'll give us utterance in our understanding. Colossians chapter 4, Paul said that your speech can be seasoned with His grace and His salt so that you know how to answer every man. You can be in a situation, I don't care if it's a meeting, it can be talking to a person, a friend, your children, a boss, whatever. And God's Spirit can help you. And He'll fill your mouth. And it'll be His wisdom. And those words will have influence. They'll be anointed by His Spirit, even in your understanding. But there is a language of the Spirit. There is a heavenly language that you can pray and speak. And it's the perfect will of God. Because, see, the Spirit knows 3 months from now. You don't. Your mind don't. He does. He searches all things. He knows. And He'll help pray and give us utterance. That's why we can claim the 28th verse, and we can truly know and expect good will come from it. 28th verse is not apart from 26 and 27. We don't want to take it out of its context. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Here we go. A couple of more scriptures and I'll let you go. Unless the Holy Spirit wants to minister some more, we'll see. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, unknown's in italicized, it's just unknown to the person that's speaking. May not be known to the person that's listening to it. But it doesn't mean God doesn't know it, because it says here, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, look at this. Notice this phrase. In the Spirit. In the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. First of all, when you're speaking in tongues, you're not speaking to men, you're talking to God. That's what the Bible says. But you're speaking in the Spirit. You remember we read Ephesians 6:18, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We just got through reading Ephesians 6:18, where it talks about praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Paul said here, when I speak in an unknown tongue, I'm not speaking unto men, I'm speaking unto God, howbeit in the Spirit. So when you're speaking in tongues, you're speaking in the Spirit or in the Holy Ghost. The 14th verse, listen to this, the 14th verse. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding, your understanding is your mind, but my understanding is unfruitful. He said, what is it then? I'll pray with the Spirit, I'll pray with my understanding also. You can pray with both. See, I know I throw some of this stuff out here, and we need to shut down here and close it out. But there's a difference. Paul went on to say, when you prophesy and you're speaking to men, you're speaking to people in the church, you're speaking to people. When you're speaking in tongues, you're speaking to God. Now, if you speak in tongues and have interpretation, that's equal to prophecy, because the interpretation brings forth what was being said in the Spirit to the people. In other words, the interpretation is speaking to the people, and that edifies them. Doesn't mean, though, that people can't pray in the Spirit in a church service. I'm talking about everybody just praying in the Spirit, because we're not talking to each other, we're talking to God. You go later in this chapter, and he talks about teaching. What they were trying to do was come in and just speak in tongues all the time without, and use that as part of the teaching. Well, if you don't have any interpretation, they don't understand it. Their understanding's unfruitful. You don't get this with your mind. Now, with that being said, here's what I'll emphasize. When you speak in tongues, you're talking to God. But it's your spirit that is praying, especially if you're speaking or praying. Paul, notice he said, if I pray. He's talking about a prayer life here. He's not talking about tongues and interpretation in a service. He's talking about his own prayer life. When you pray in tongues, what part of you is praying? Your mind? No, your spirit. That tells me, now here's a little side note here, okay? That tells me if your spirit can operate apart from your understanding or your mind in prayer, you can also operate from your spirit when being led apart from your mind and in your thought realm. Thoughts are trying to crowd. You got a lot of stuff coming at your mind. But see, you can disengage from your mind and hook up with your spirit and go to your heart. Because if you can pray when you're with your spirit and not with your mind, you can be led by your spirit and not your mind. You get your mind renewed with the Word of God, and it'll help get itself in line, so it'll be easier to follow your heart and follow your spirit. And your head won't give you so much trouble. You won't try to reason everything, try to figure everything out. It's got to make mind sense to you. God's not a mind. If you try to figure out God with your mind, you ain't going to get there. This stuff, your heart either. Listen, when I first come around the Holy Ghost, because I didn't grow up in a Holy Ghost church. Matter of fact, what I'm even talking about was foreign to me, and I didn't want to have anything to do with it. I'm just being honest with you. But I'll tell you what I did. I got hungry, and I got sincere, and I wanted the devil out of my life. And I wanted Jesus in my life. And I told him I wanted all of it. And I wanted him to have control of my life. And I didn't lead me, he led me. He brought me around to this wonderful experience of being filled and baptized in the Holy Ghost. And he gave me a prayer language where I could pray and talk to him from my spirit. And it bypassed my mind. I could communicate and I could pray the will of God for my life about things I didn't even know in my mind. Because your mind will give you a fit and you wonder how it's all going to work out. And you're trying to figure it out and reason it out. This is beyond that. And it's such a help to us. And it has such an influence in our own life. It's such a working of Him in and through us to benefit us and to help us and even others. Oh, glory to God. I'll close with this. We're not going to go there because we're out of time. But Jude, the 20th verse, it's only one chapter. And if you take in context, Jude was talking about the end times, the last days. And he talked about how people would just be sensual, not having the Spirit. And he said, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost or in the Holy Spirit is the same thing. Paul said, when I speak in tongues, I'm speaking in the Spirit. I'm talking to God. My spirit's praying, not my mind. And it builds you up and it edifies you and it helps you, especially with everything that's going on around you. And it'll help keep yourself in the love of God. The next verse, keeping yourselves in the love of God. I saw a disturbing video. Some of you have probably seen it. Just because of a face mask, someone was stabbed and then they eventually got shot here recently. There was just an argument because a person wasn't wearing a face mask and somebody said, please, you know, and then they get upset. Person ends up getting stabbed, serious condition, and then the person who done the stabbing ends up getting shot by a police officer. But you know what would have curbed all that? If somebody listened to the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of love on the inside of them. Praying in the Holy Ghost to help keep you in the love of God. Praying in the Spirit, letting the Spirit of God help you, the Spirit within and the Spirit upon, it's here for your benefit and for others. Things will wax worse and worse, the Scripture says. It's not going away, folks. What are we listening to? How are we allowing Him when He, the Spirit of truth, has come? He will guide you. He will help you. He will give you utterance. He will help you pray about things you don't even know as you ought to know. He'll pray the perfect will of God for your life and others around you. And you can know it'll turn out good for you. Doesn't mean you won't encounter situations and circumstances, but it will turn out good for you. And you can keep yourself in the love of God. Amen? Praise God. We're good. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. Let's just bow our heads here just a moment. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your Spirit that lives on the inside of us. Hallelujah. If you're under the sound of our voice, whether you're in here or whether you're online, Jesus became a curse. Jesus came to die for you and me. Jesus came, if you're watching online, Jesus came to die for you. He came to take the curse of spiritual death. Spiritual death is where a person is separated from God. Spiritual death entered because of a man named Adam in the garden. But the Bible tells us the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to take care of all that. Jesus came to die, and not only die physically, but Jesus came to become sin, to be separated. That's why he cried on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he did that for you, so that you would no longer be separated nor forsaken by God, but that you could open up your heart and receive eternal life and receive his nature and receive the Holy Spirit, to be born of the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to have him in your life forever. Because Jesus said when he comes to you, and the only reason he can come is because Jesus paid the price and shed his blood so that we could be born again, we could be made new. If you've never received Jesus, any here under the sound of my voice, you've never received Jesus. Jesus redeemed us from the curse so that we could receive the promise of the Spirit. God would live in you, dwell in you, help you. You no longer be alone, doing it in your own strength or in your own way. But Jesus is the way. And he sent his Spirit to live in you and me. That's you, you've never received him, then pray this with me. If you're here, just pray this. I tell you what, all of us, we just pray it from our hearts. We help people. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for sending Jesus. I thank you that he died for me, shed his blood for me, tasted death for me, so that I could receive life. The gift of righteousness, your abundant grace. Lord Jesus, I confess you as my Lord. I receive you into my heart now. I thank you for helping me, making me new, all things new. I trust you with my heart. I thank you that the Father raised you from the dead for me. I am justified. I am made righteous. I am made new. Holy Spirit, thank you for being such a wonderful helper. Father, I ask you to fill me with your Spirit. Baptize me with your Spirit. Fill me to overflowing. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, if you're watching, I feel impressed. Now, guys, this is the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you. Somebody just prayed that prayer. You're watching. Or you may even watch at a later date, and you prayed that prayer. And you said, Father, fill me with your Spirit. The Bible says they were all filled with the Spirit and to begin to speak in another language, in other tongues, as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Now, they have to speak. The Holy Spirit weren't doing the speaking. They spoke. They spake. But the Holy Spirit gave them that utterance, that heavenly language. That's you right now. I want you to lift your hands. Don't pray in English. Don't pray with your own understanding. Just pray. Allow that to come out of you. Glomba dele denci ti plaba frihiste seto lo moncifre macaladanse. Vriste prandandolo no stede banglandan se pre ediviastai. Vropa pa alaviste landum prananse le manclate ci prebedic fromo sempra babaste leneli. Golo non clancanci fremeniastai. Bilianzo lancli ci propa pava viastea. Thank you, mos sempre de manstig glantan cladec. Thank you, Lord. Dobre ene manci fro prahastifre ecediast. Oh, clica manansi premeniasto. Thank you, Father. Now see, that utterance come from my spirit, not from my mind. And it's the same with you. Tell somebody. Tell somebody what happened. I mean, call somebody. Call them. Let them know. Like I said the other day, you're watching some wild, crazy guy on Facebook Live, and you got filled with the Holy Ghost, born again and filled with the Spirit. He loves you. Now, you can pray in that language anytime you want to, when you're getting ready, when you're driving down the road, walking in your backyard. Amen. I wouldn't do it in front of everybody. Sometimes they'll think you're crazy. So, but you can talk to God, just you and God. Wonderful. Wonderful. You'll keep yourself, and things will come to you. Things will be opened up to you now. It's like a whole new world. It is. It's heavenly. It's divine. It's things of the Spirit, not things in the natural, not just things of this earth. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Y'all doing good back there? They're not cutting me off or anything like that. That's pretty good. My wife's not sending me no more messages. I just want to be clear in my spirit before we quit. When I was worshiping earlier, the Holy Ghost started giving me some things while we was worshiping. Those words of knowledge and things that came, those things came to me while I was worshiping. And then while I was ministering, I'd sort of let them go, you know. I mean, not that I let them go. I knew that there'd be a possibility he may want me to. But I didn't have to try to remember any of them. They're all there. Every one of them were there. Same things he spoke to me over there. Because sometimes you get your mind in another direction, you start preaching and teaching, it can leave you. But it didn't leave. And I knew it was time to minister. Amen? And there'll be results from that. Won't there, Jean Ann? She was testifying that at the end of service, Jean Ann was talking here recently how the same situation happened, and I spoke out something, and she was affected by that word. Why? Because the Holy Spirit knows all things. He searches all things. He helps us. He gives us utterance. That's one way he helps us. Yes, praying in tongues, but he also helps us speak things because he loves people. And there's a connection in the Spirit, and their faith takes hold of that, and then they receive it. You have to receive these things. Just even though I spoke these things, you still have to receive them. You still have to mix faith with what was said. So just take hold of it. If something was spoken to you, I don't care if you're in here or watching online, take hold of that by faith. Receive it. And say, Lord, I thank you. I receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I love you. Glory to God. Everything's good. I think I'm clearing my spirit. Hallelujah. Have a great week. I bless you in Jesus' name. And we'll be back here Wednesday night at 7 o'clock.